You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 18 January. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, we're going to be chatting with Pigpi Radenhuis, some expected price action, looking at the Russell 2000, Kumber and Zoff. We got some time. Dino Zoccolo, S12J, the tax year obviously wrapping up, so a lot of talk around that. What about the sunset clause? What about red flags? What about the tax on exit? Lots of questions there. And then Greg Strachan, he's from Alpha Wealth. Considering your objectives rather than just letting sort of FOMO drive decisions, particularly when we see sort of, I don't know, Bitcoin, Tesla, all those exciting stocks, how do you stay on course? The poll from Friday, we asked you, what do you consider real money? 54% said cash, 27% said crypto, said gold, 19% said crypto. I got to say, I expected the cryptos and gold perhaps to do a little bit better, but it is telling that only 54% are saying, hang on, we think cash is actually the real deal here. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb, brace for load shedding until winter. 43% of capacity is unavailable. 43%. This is not maybe a massive surprise. We've had it over the last couple of days. The issue is, of course, and it hardly bears repeating, but we need electricity to keep and grow this economy. Without it, I mean, we're in trouble. I mean, let's see. Winter, that's a couple of months of stage one, stage two, maybe stage three and four load shedding. CNBC, China says its economy grew 2.3% in 2020, but consumer spending did fall. It makes it the only major economy to actually grow in 2020. We've still got some more coming, some more numbers to see, but it certainly does look like it's the only one that managed. And for China, 2.3, that's a tiny number. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 0.7, NASDAQ off 1%, and US is closed today for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Asia is red, Sydney off 0.9, Tokyo off 0.8. Commodities mostly red, PGMs the exception, and gold at 18.27. Rand 15.24. Top 40 opening call looking for a red open about 0.25% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Pigpi Radenhuis. He's founder at Herenia Capital Advisors. Pigpi, morning. Appreciate your time this Monday. A couple of charts you put out over the weekend. The one I think we've all been talking around, the S&P and the NASDAQ, but the Russell 2000, which is kind of the small cap index in the US, maybe the mid cap we could call it, really has been on a bit of a tear recently. But you're suggesting that perhaps it's reached the top and we're actually going to see a bit of a pullback in those sort of slightly smaller stocks in the US.
Good morning. And potentially, right? So what we've seen actually is quite a strong outperformance over the December and so far January period of the small caps companies, essentially the Russell 2000 companies, compared to the larger indices like the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. So this is a seasonal phenomenon. Generally, the Russell 2000 does do quite a bit better than the rest of the market during this time. But also, I don't know, someone once told me, or I read somewhere once in a textbook, that generally small caps are the last to run in the economic cycle. So I don't know. It makes me a little worried. The way that I look at the chart, however, from a sort of technical perspective, is that it's been trading sort of within a channel or moving higher within two set boundaries, an upper edge and a lower edge, for a number of months, maybe 4 or 5 months or so. And then the upper edge of that channel was actually broken out of, which is incredibly bullish under general sort of circumstances, or normal circumstances, if you consider that the move sort of accelerates, it becomes almost parabolic, right? So it's interesting to sort of see that break out. Generally, you know, one of two things happens here. It's a sort of fake breakout, and you have this, you know, it really sucks in all the very greedy bears, all the greedy bulls, and then the market sort of comes off again. However, this hasn't happened. It's been above this upper sort of resistance level for about a week and a bit.
Yeah.
So the market is feeling, at least the rest of 2000 is feeling very, very, at least the momentum is very, very strong towards the upside. But there are sort of signs of weakness in some of the other indices. You could look at the NASDAQ, for example. Momentum seems to be sort of waning, while price seems to be under a little bit of pressure. It can't make as many new highs as what it has been making. The S&P 500, we saw, had a really sort of rough end of the week as well. And there's also a few signs of divergence. So this is where sort of stochastic oscillators or momentum indicators fail to make new highs, yet price do. Those are generally sort of precursors of pullbacks, given the sort of current circumstances. The rest of the 1000, interestingly enough, does not have any of those sort of bearish elements or evidence present on the chart. So it's a bit of a confusing state. And if you have to trust the chart to follow, it'll probably be the one that's currently leading the market, and that is either the small caps or the sort of Philadelphia Semiconductor Index, which is also quite a
Petri, we're losing you there. The ETF on the Russell, for those who are looking for it, it's a US ETF, of course, IWM. Petri, I think we got you back there. Quickly, in the last minute or so, Kumba also looking like it's had a stellar run. You were targeting 680. That's been hit, but looking like a bit of a pullback perhaps now on Kumba Iron Ore.
Yeah, so a couple of things sort of behind there as the driver. I think we've seen the dollar index really strengthen over the last couple of days, and that's going to obviously put quite a bit of pressure on some of the commodities, particularly metals and so on. And as you mentioned, yes, Kumba sort of, initially there was a big head and shoulders that was tracked. It was quite bearish. That head and shoulders failed. So we saw very strong move sort of from 560 land to 680. That's been a very smooth sort of uptrend over the last month. That uptrend seems to have broken. So if we get a decent pullback, we'd probably pull back to around 550 or 580 rand as a potential target over the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, and there has been a great run in Kumba. I mean, from what, under 500 to almost 700. Petri Raden has founder Hiranya Capital Advisors. Appreciate the early morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Sitting now with Dina Zakola. He's, of course, Chairman 12J Association of South Africa. You also find him at Westbrook in his day job. Dina, morning. Appreciate your time. We were chatting last year around the review which Treasury has talked around on the S12J. They'd always said that they were going to sort of have a review period and see what it was like. Have we got any sort of clarity from Treasury where we are with that? Is S12J still in play? Are they looking to wrap it up? Any news on that front?
Morning, Simon, and Happy New Year. Simon, since we last spoke, there hasn't been a whole lot of an update. And just to remind everyone as to where we are with Section 12J at the moment, National Treasury put out a set of additional questions and review sort of measures that they were looking at trying to get more information on last year around the debate of whether or not they want to extend Section 12J. The responses to that are due later this week. And we'll know sort of probably by the budget in February what National Treasury's intention is regarding the future of Section 12J. But to your question, the most important thing is that for the individual tax year ended February of this year, Section 12J is very much still here and until June this year as well. So investors are still able to take advantage of the tax break, even though we're not sure as to whether or not Section 12J will be around for a whole lot longer.
Okay, so, but it is, I mean, we can enter at this point, and I suppose that's the critical point. You know, tax laws change from time to time, but once you're in, you're in. You're grandfathered in a sense, which means, I mean, obviously the deal with the 12J is we can put money into it, and we essentially have that reduced from our taxable income, so you get a nice tax break on this tax year. Of course, then at the end, when you cash out, if I'm correct, the full benefit that pays out is then CGT. So you benefit from tax now, you get a slight hit at the end, but that, of course, CGT, a lower tax rate.
Correct, Simon. So Section 12J is effectively a tax incentive that government put in with an intention to promote private investment into SMEs around the country, and mm-hmm. in so doing, investors get a healthy tax break. Like you've mentioned, you get a rand-for-rand deduction of every rand that you invest in a Section 12J company against your taxable income in the same year that you invest. So if I earned 100 rand this year and I invest 100 rand in a Section 12J company, effectively this year I don't pay any tax. And mm-hmm. then what happens in turn is a Section 12J compliant fund manager will take your money and invest it into different areas of the South African economy. And of course, that has a whole lot of knock-on benefits both to the investor, who, as you mentioned, yes, he pays exit CGT, but he gets a very healthy tax break up front. And it has knock-on benefits for the South African economy insofar as the fact that those investments then go and they pay tax and they create jobs and they stimulate investments into South Africa. It's almost become, in our ecosystem of investments, Simon, a viable alternative to something like an RA. You know, if you look at a mm-hmm. Section 12J investment, for individuals and trusts, you can invest up to 2.5 million rand every year. For a company, you can invest up to 5 million. If you just quickly contrast that to a retirement annuity, you've got a 350,000 rand per annum cap for individuals, so it's obviously smaller. But in the same vein, a Section 12J only needs to be held for 5 years, whereas an RA can only be commuted once you turn 55. And of course, the big benefit to a 12J is that you get to make an uncorrelated alternative type investment to the underlying, which is very different, of course, to your traditional equities that a retirement annuity is typically invested into.
Yeah, a totally different asset class, a different space. And one of the big spaces in 12J has been hospitality. I mean, are we still seeing that? I mean, we see what's happening with lockdowns, with the pandemic. Are we seeing less in the hospitality, or are the funds, the 12J funds, very much looking through the pandemic and saying, you know what, yes, it is very real in 2021, but it will pass in time and there will be a returning demand for those hotels, guest lodges and the like?
Correct. So about 50% of the industry's assets under management have been invested into hospitality. And, I mean, this is exactly the purpose, Simon. You have a tax incentive that's designed to give you a tax break, but then that money is incentivized to be invested into areas of the economy where maybe it otherwise wouldn't have been invested. And, you know, at the moment with COVID-19, hospitality is a tough sector. Mm-hmm. We still expect to see a decent amount of money invested into hospitality this year, notwithstanding the fact that COVID-19 has been tough. You know, in these things, there's always swings and roundabouts in the sense that it has been tough, but at the same time, there are very attractive investment opportunities out there at the moment. So I would still expect to see money to go into hospitality. I think the tax break does give investors an element of downside protection because of the fact that they get 45%, you know, what they totally invest back from the taxman in respect of the foregone tax or the tax that they would have paid. However, you know, it would be naive to expect that the amount of money raised into those industries that have been hardest hit by the COVID-19 pandemic, it would be naive to think that there wouldn't be less money raised. So there will still be a flow into hospitality, but I would expect to see money going into some of the sectors that investors perceive to be a little bit more robust.
Yeah, I take your point on that 100%. We'll leave that there. Dina Sokola, the Chairman 12J Association of South Africa, appreciate your early morning.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Greg Strachan. He's a wealth manager at Alpha Wealth. Greg, morning. Appreciate your time. I want to delve into the sort of the hot trends and the fear of missing out. But before I get to that, I suppose my upfront question is as a wealth manager, you're advising clients who obviously managing money with assistance. It really is, and it's boring to say it, but it is a case of, you know, we need to consider our assets. We need to make sure that we are on track, and if we are on track and things are working, we can kind of sit back and put our feet up. We don't need to worry about hot new sectors and stuff, and we can ignore them and let them pass us by. Is that fair comment, or is there always just a drive for more is better?
Simon, morning, and thanks for having me on the show again, and morning to your listeners. Yeah, you know, it's actually a very interesting topic, this, and it's something I've been, actually, funny enough, recorded a podcast recently on it, and it really talks to, you know, people spending some time actually understanding what it is that is important to them and what it is that they want to achieve. Because I think most people, what ends up happening is they don't take the time to actually truly understand what it is that they want and that's going to make them happy and get an understanding of what needs to happen to get to make that happen. And then when you don't have that context, inevitably, we human beings, we're very emotive people. We start to then focus on the stuff that's directly in front of us. We can get drawn into these fads, or we get drawn into investments which aren't necessarily in our benefit. And so I think to a large degree, it's a case of actually, you know, understanding what it is we need to, exactly what it is that we want to try and achieve. Mm. And then we can start avoiding that stuff. And to a large degree, then we can then say, okay, well, we know we're on track for a particular goal. And then it's about materiality. You know, there's nothing wrong with making an investment, a speculative investment, as long as it's a small part of your wealth and you don't put everything at risk.
But I take your point, but I really, really like your upfront point. And it almost means a wealth manager almost becomes maybe a life coach of a sense. And that first question is not, you know, how much do I have? How much do I need? What are my tax implications? What, where, and how? The first question is, to your point, what matters? You know, and for one person, it might be, you know, retirement in Mauritius. For another, it might be putting kids through varsity and setting them up for life or something. The first question is not around the money. The first question is actually supposed to be, should be, around sort of core values.
100%. And, you know, that's exactly what I try and really get across to people is, before you even consider the money, you know, we all have founding principles, mm-hmm. which drive us, our values and what's important to us. It actually enables us to generate and accumulate this money in the first place. And that's where you really need to start. And it's unfortunately, it's just inherent in the industry that we sort of get pushed products and services that we sort of deal with, directly from the media and hype and social media and all of the stuff that comes at us. And we focus on that first, and we focus on that sort of that feeling of getting quick returns, rather than taking a step back and saying, you know, for me and my family and my values, what is the most important thing? And then really it's a case of, once you really have understood that, actually put a plan in place and know, okay, what do I need to achieve? Or maybe you've already got there and you can actually start spending the money. You know, sometimes, you know, some of my best discussions with clients is where you say, well, hold on, you're actually good. You know, you can actually spend a bit more, and using prudent assumptions, forgetting about a really big return, you actually can start living your life better than you think you can. So often it's a case of going, you know, if you tuned into what's important and, you know, you do that properly, you then just need permission to actually go and live that life that you've always wanted to live, rather than getting caught up in a whole lot of hype out there in the media.
Yeah, and then you can, and it goes back to my point up front, then you can actually put your feet up. But I love that point. First question, what's important? What matters? That's how you're going to work the rest of the process out. Greg Strachan, Wealth Manager, Alpha Wealth, appreciate your time this morning. Thank you. The show is brought to you by Obvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 29. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit obvest.com. Obvest SA is an authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. A question for you today, which is already up and on the MoneyWeb Twitter, at MoneyWeb. Have you invested into an S12J fund? Yes, no, or perhaps you're looking to maybe do it this year. As I said, you'll find that on the MoneyWeb Twitter account. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app at 6:30 a.m. Podcast available wherever you get great podcasts, and of course again the MoneyWeb website and app. A huge thanks to my team, Eddie and Cordora, and thanks to you for listening and to my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.